Sunday, the 26th of January, 2020, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, God Speaks. Sermon title, God Will Be Made Known. Bible reading, Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Talk by Darrell Williams.
The reading this morning is taken from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judea and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's hard to believe that it's already the 26th of January and both Christmas and the New Year celebrations have come and gone. I often find January a difficult month and everything feels much darker and a little bit bare after all the Christmas lights and decorations have been taken down. After the break from work, I have to get back into a rhythm again, and as a keen runner, the first few weeks of training into the cold start of a new year can prove challenging. One thing that has never changed, and is the same every January, is when I return to the gym after the Christmas break, it's really busy and there's lots of new faces around. And then you get to February and everything quietens down again. It is easy to start something with the best of intentions, but it can require self-discipline and motivation to keep going. I've only just started my New Year's resolution, which is to manage my own diary and try to create a better balance between the amount of time I spend running, my home life, time with friends, my working patterns, and of course church, and being spiritually disciplined. Last week I returned to training after taking a longer time off than usual from the end of last season with an injury, so this is my first attempt to begin new habits. You might not entirely noticed it this morning. Promising to manage my own diary and create a better balance between my private and work life may not sound that extraordinary, but I should probably point out that my professional job is that of an executive assistant, and a large part of what I do on a daily basis is manage the diaries for senior directors, arranging their travel, meetings, and keeping everything organised. You may be asking, and it's a fair question, how is it that I'm so poor at managing myself when I'm trusted to support senior staff at the charity where I work? Well, partly I think it's sort of managing a personal diary at home feels like you're still working. After a long day, I want to spend my time relaxing and getting away from all the regular activities I do from the 9 to 5. Also, I think over time, my responsibilities have grown, and that has increased the need to get better at managing the expectations on my time. The thing I think here is the need to be intentional about things. I have been gifted with administration skills, and yet have never used them to try to balance my own time better between my work life, training, seeing friends, and ensuring that God stays at the centre of everything. As Christians, it is important we maintain discipline and that we are intentional about God. Are we using the gifts that God has given us? Do we make sure God sits at the centre of everything? We can often find ourselves under pressure, and I know despite my best efforts, there will be times when I will not live up to everyone's expectations. I'm glad I put that line in this morning. I'm only human, and I will get things wrong at times. I also know it's not always possible to please everyone, and it is really important we make time to rest and bring our lives before God. The amazing thing about God is he does not expect us to be perfect, and he asks, and all he asks is that we turn to him. That is not to say that becoming Christians, there are not expectations in the way that we should live, but God empowers us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He equips and guides us. He hears our prayers, and we are invited into a relationship with him. God teaches us how to love because he is love. In this morning's passage, Malachi the prophet is calling upon the people to turn back to God because they have lost their way. They have many expectations, some of which have left them feeling disappointed. The people have returned to the promised land, and a second temple was built after the first was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar II during the exile. The first temple had been built by Solomon, and the ark had been brought there. It was a magnificent structure, and a temple was filled with the visible presence of God. 1 Kings 8 verses 10 to 11. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. The people had expected the rebuilt temple would also be filled with the visible presence of God, and also expected prosperity, wealth, and international prominence. Zechariah 1:16 to 17. Therefore, this is what the Lord says: I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt, and the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says: my towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. Israel was struggling both socially and politically. We see the complaints in verse 17, which precedes this morning's passage, where they believe those who do evil are the ones who prosper and cry out for justice. Despite their complaints against those who do evil, they are not addressing their own poor behaviour or sin. They cry out for the Messiah who they hope will fully restore their fortunes, but the Messiah they call for and the one who will come will again be very different to their expectations. What they have failed to grasp or do not understand is how prophecies are leading to Jesus. They are expecting their hopes and aspirations to be fulfilled in the present time. God's presence would indeed grace the temple. And at the age of 12, Jesus, as described in Luke 2, verses 41 to 52, was in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus would visit the temple on a number of occasions, including the week before his crucifixion. Malachi, as a messenger, points towards John the Baptist, who in turn prepares the way for the coming of Jesus. As I studied this passage, there were five lessons that stood out to me. God knows best. God always has a plan or purpose. God is always present. God knows the complete picture, and God refines and purifies us. God knows best. The people of Israel were demonstrating double standards. They were crying out to God, complaining that they felt all who do evil were the ones who prospered, while they continually disobeyed God. Throughout the Old Testament, God calls on the people of Israel to turn away from their sinfulness and to be obedient to him. Eventually, Jesus would come and restore that broken relationship that existed between humanity and God. The world is a broken place, and bad things happen. Sometimes it feels like those who do wrong prosper, and those who seek to do right suffer. As Malachi warned, Jesus would restore the broken relationship, but also bring judgment over those who commit evil acts. Those who persist in doing wrong, who reject Jesus, who, as it says in verse 5, do not fear God, will face justice. It can be difficult when we set our hearts on something and bring these prayers before God, but perhaps we do not get what we want. God will not grant our prayers if we are making the wrong choices. And as a loving Father, he will seek to protect us. Sometimes when I look back at the past events in my life and where I am now, I am grateful how I did not get some of the things I requested. And in many cases, it was because God, through his grace, had something better planned for me. We need to have discernment, trust God, and seek his guidance in our daily lives. God always has a plan or purpose. What we want does not always align with what God wants for us. This can be difficult as Christians, especially if what we are asking for is God to equip us with something that is related towards helping others or associated with ministry, because we are seeking to advance God's kingdom on earth. I recall being involved with the original church hall building project, where partnership agreements were in place and eventually the entire project collapsed. There was real disappointment then. But that happened some years ago, and some years later after that, an even bolder and newer vision for the church has emerged. God is always present. Throughout life, we can find ourselves going through both good and bad times, but I also think there are times where we find ourselves in a dry season where we might just describe things as being okay. Malachi was prophesying to a people who have returned to their homeland and had a temple restored. But instead of being relieved to have been returned from far harder periods of time, they longed for much more. Instead of being grateful to be back in their homeland, they were unhappy because they lacked wealth. Instead of praising God, they had a temple restored. They were unhappy because it did not feel like it matched the splendour of what was previously built by Solomon. There is nothing wrong with aspirations, and God invites us to bring our petitions before him. But where we need to be careful is if we start to have longings for something, become impatient for things to happen, and allow such things to distract us from God. Instead of trusting God with the things that matter to us, we can seek advice from elsewhere. Our ways are the ways of God and not of the world. Friends, work colleagues, even family members who are perhaps not well versed in the Bible can, meaning well, offer advice and guidance that conflicts with our values and those of the Bible. We need to be careful to have discernment and never follow advice that moves us away from God or his word. There is no reason not to show gratitude towards someone who wants to advise you if it's advice that we cannot accept, and it may even be a ministry opportunity. where if done in the right way, allows us to gently explain our own values and approach. Sometimes our faith can falter if we feel frustrated. Maybe if we have been through a situation that felt unfair, and that can lead us into temptations to disobey God and do things our way instead. God knows the complete picture. We can only judge situations from where we are, but God is all-knowing, and he is always working, even if it feels like nothing is happening. Consider, for example, ships that sail out to sea. If you stand on the coast, all you can see is sea, and eventually the ship will disappear over the horizon. The ship's captain and crew all have advanced navigation equipment, and they know where they are going. They can be at sea for several days at a time, but will eventually reach their intended port and destination. You may not be able to see the coastline of countries across the seas, but they exist. If we trust God, he will navigate us to where he wants us to go. God refines and purifies us. Two images are given within the passage, and that is of a refiner's fire and launderer's soap. If we bring our lives before God, we can be confident that our past is forgiven. Whatever mistakes we may have made, these are not a barrier to our future. Just consider Paul the Apostle. He was the most unlikely of Christian leaders and role model for the church. Prior to his conversion on the road to Damascus, he oversaw the persecution of Christians. After meeting Jesus, he goes on to write powerful passages about equality, offering loving service, use of spiritual gifts, and of faith. God cleanses, but this can be a difficult process. The refiner's fire is intense in order to separate impurities from pure metal. The launderers lose a lyre soap and clothes would be placed on rocks and beaten with sticks. When God cleanses us, it is deep and all the impurities are removed. We have been witnesses within this very church of amazing testimonies of people who have been through life, who have been through life transformative experiences and sometimes life saving experiences when they have come to know the risen Christ. John 14, verses 5 to 7. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Amen.